You're listening to Finding Direction, where we help people who feel lost find direction in their life. We interview the most passionate and fulfilled people and reverse engineer their life to uncover how they found direction. In doing so, we uncover strategies, tactics, and actionable steps you can apply to live a life of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. I'm your host, Stu Massengill, and thanks for listening in.
What's up, my friend? Welcome back to the Finding Direction podcast. This week, I'm sitting down with Simon T. Bailey. And Simon, he is on a mission to spark listeners to lead countries, companies, and communities differently. And a few of the things that you can expect on this week's episode in our conversation is, how do you find your spark, that thing that it's inside of you? And if you can find it and harness it and own it and nourish it, it turns into an amazing piece of who you are. And it turns into an amazing piece of your purpose. And on top of that, we also talk about stepping into your brilliance. And also, how do you raise your vibration? So rather than chasing success, you actually begin to attract that success into your life. All right, we are going to dive right into this episode. Without no further ado, here we go. Simon T. Bailey, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. So good to be with you.
Absolutely. I'm excited for us to dive in. And I figured where we could start is, could you fill us in and, you know, our listeners a little bit as far as, like, what did life first look like when you took your first step into the, like, quote unquote professional or quote unquote real world? Like, what was that? What was life looking like in that first step?
Oh, wow. First step is mom and dad dropped me off at Morehouse College at the end of my freshman year. They said, we don't have the money to send you back to school, nor do we have money to bring you back home to Buffalo, but we love you. So I drop out of school and voila, I enter the workforce, working at a hotel, on public transportation, trying to figure it out. Lost as a goose in a blizzard. Didn't mean to get into the hospitality industry, but that's kind of where I started, and transferred my credits over to Georgia State University, worked during the day, went to school at night, and that was my start.
Dang. Amazing. So when you first got into hospitality, was it something you loved it? You just were like, hey, I got to do something to pay the bills.
Yeah. Oh, it was totally something to pay the bills. And let me be straight up. I was making $5 to 10 cents an hour, and they left the light on for me at the hotel, if you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
It was a low point. It was a really low point, but I had to do what I had to do.
Yeah. So fill me in a little bit. So how do you go from, you're getting started in that, dropped out of college, said, I'm going to do this, you know, to pay for college and go back and do that, to eventually you're working at Disney and you're doing some pretty big things there. So fill us in a little bit on that piece of the story.
So ended up meeting a young lady, moved to Orlando, was transferred by Hyatt Hotels, started working at the Orlando Tourism Bureau after I did my 1 year Hyatt, because I didn't want to pay the moving expenses back. So I said, nice. Hang a year, right? Yeah. And then got hired to work for Visit Orlando. And then from there, Disney started recruiting me. And I said, well, you know what? If I get on with Disney, I can pay for school. So it took me 2 years to get hired, 10 interviews, a 10-page psychological analysis from Gallup. And I think they just kind of figured out I wasn't going away after 2 years. They hired me. And while I was there for 7 years, I had four different jobs while I was there in 7 years.
Interesting. What was your favorite part about being at Disney?
Oh my goodness. First of all, number one, the spirit of excellence. Number two, they were a stickler about professional development, learning and growing. Number three, it was the first job, one of the jobs that I had that actually sent me overseas. I had never been out of the country. I'd never had a passport.
So cool.
And Disney afforded me that opportunity to see the world.
That's awesome. So cool. And obviously, hopefully you got like a free Disney pass somewhere in that.
Yeah, I got a Disney pass, paid for school. I mean, life was great.
They treated you well. That's so cool, man. So you're at Disney for a couple of years, if my, you know, studying was correct. And at some point, kind of fill me in as far as like, what takes you from, you know, I'm doing hospitality to all of a sudden, like, I got a message to share with the world, and I'm not going to be quiet. You know, I'm going to take that step, take that leap, and share my voice with the world. Like, how did that piece sort of come in your own life where you decided to leave Disney?
The defining moment, two quick stories. Disney sent me to Paris to design a leadership program for 1,000 leaders out of Barclays Bank out of London. And Lion King had just come out the first time. And I'm there on stage and I said, remember who you are. You are more than what you have become. And it like hit me because I'm saying this to 1,000 people. But I'm like, wait a minute. So I went back to my hotel room that night in Paris and I said, what would I do if I knew I could fail? What would I do if no one paid me to do it? What makes me come alive? And I said I would speak, write, train, consult, and coach because while I was on stage, I found my voice. I found my thing. So when I came back to Florida from Paris, Disney promoted me into a leadership role. And I'm like, you know what? I was 30, 32. I'm like, I'm not going to be here long. Let me figure out the exit strategy because I have to go into this. So second story, I'm sitting at my desk, December 10, 2001. And whenever you work at Disney, you never talk to the media. And a journalist calls me, he says, where do you see yourself 10 to 15 years from now? And I said, I see myself as the president and CEO of the Walt Disney World Resort and eventually the chairman and CEO of the Walt Disney Company. True story. He puts this in print. The article comes out page 12, Florida Business Trend Magazine, February 2002. There's my picture with the Mickey Mouse topiary behind me and me saying I wanted to become the number one guy. And my boss is like, dude, what were you thinking? And I said, Larry, I work at this company whose motto is, if your heart is in your dreams, no request is too extreme. For when you wish upon a star, it makes no difference who you are. But obviously it does here. So funny today, not funny then. HR shows up, asks me to sign a little piece of paper. I went to my personal file. And let's just say Disney didn't fire me that day. But about a year later, I heard the footsteps coming and they were not singing. It's a small world after all. So I said, okay, I'm going to go and take my message to the world as how I jacked up my career at Disney.
Well, I'm curious for you, what would you say was like the biggest limiting belief that you had to get over taking that step?
I think confidence to not allow the thought of being a Black man in America to hold me back or stop me from sharing my message or thinking that audiences would want to hear me. So I had to get out of my way.
Yeah. And how'd you get out of your way? Like you just,
I started reading. So started doing a lot of reading, obviously Think and Grow Rich, number of books. And I started attending seminars and I started doing the work to work on my mindset. Because what I discovered, it's not who you are that holds you back. It's who you think you're not that holds you back. And sometimes you focus on who you think you're not instead of who you are. So I had to constantly sell myself on myself.
That's powerful, man. It's true. A lot of the time we can focus on, well, I'm not this, I'm not that good, but there's so many beautiful aspects of who we are that if we focus on that and let that pull us into the next maybe step that we're a little bit scared of, that's going to allow us to take that next step.
Yes. And that gave me the encouragement. So I leave Disney, I cash in my entire 401k worth retirement plan. I turned down four jobs. The country's going to war with Iraq for the second time back in 03. Who hangs out a shingle to say, I'm going to start a business? Have you lost your mind? Yes, I did. Because my then wife, mother, and my children said, hey, whatever you decide to do, I'm with you. Our youngest was four. Our daughter was 18 months. And there was no plan B. So this kind of like had to work.
Unbelievable, man. So I'm one of the things you talk a lot about is helping people kind of find that spark that they have within them. And I think there's unfortunately too many people that go through the life and kind of push down their spark, right? It's like, it's not the first thing you learn in school where it's like, hey, find that thing that lights you up and go follow that. It's like, no, did you do your math? Did you do your history, right? So I'm curious, what do you think is the importance of following your spark and like even finding your spark?
Yeah. So when you find your spark, you find your joy. When you find your joy, you find your voice. When you find your voice, you find your freedom. But if you don't have freedom, your voice is suppressed and you're not living in joy. You're living an average life. Thus, there's no spark. So how do you start? It simply begins with, what are my strengths? What is it that I bring to the table? What's my gift? What's my talent? What allows me to move into flow? What allows me to just be who I'm meant to be? That's number one. Number two, who are the people in your life that can give you honest feedback to say, dude, when you do this, you're in the zone, you're in the flow, right? They're that mirror that reflects back, right? And they're not tearing you down, they're building you up in the most positive way. And then the third thing is, what is it that I absolutely love? You know, Seth Godin in his book, The Practice, says, doing what you love is for amateurs, but loving what you're doing is for professionals. So am I loving what I'm doing? Because think about this. The average person in their lifetime, a 40-year career, will spend 90,000 hours at work, a third of your life, right? So if 90,000 hours in your lifetime is spent at work, do you love it? Like, are you really loving who you're becoming?
Yeah. Interesting. So how do you, it sounds like the few ways you find it, you can ask people around, you can kind of do an audit of yourself.
Yes.
And so let's say you start to figure out what that spark is for yourself. What would you say are some of the things you can do to start living that? Like, because you may know, hey, I love this thing, but how do I do this for a living?
So let me tell you real time what I did. I'm working at Disney and I said, I want to start my side hustle. So I took vacation time off and I would go and speak to different organizations. After this article came out, I started getting calls. So Florida A&M University calls and says, hey, we want you to be the commencement speaker. I'm like, oh, snap. Yes. Yeah. I said, who of your past commencement speakers been? They've had, well, we've had Secretary Madeleine Albright. And I'm like, awesome. So I went and I did it. I was the youngest speaker to ever do it. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do this again. So number one, put your toe in the water. Go and experience what you think you want to do. Have little failures. Yeah. But what that does, that builds confidence. That's number one. Number two, success leaves clues. Find somebody who is doing what you think you want to do and find out all of their mistakes. Don't talk about success, because in the dictionary, failure comes before success. What's your mistakes? How did you fail? Because you want to cut down your learning curve. And then the third thing, make a date with destiny and say, okay, after I have done my testing of this thing that I think I want to do, make a date with destiny and say, by this date, I'm going to go for it. But meanwhile, back up, have an exit strategy, because how you exit a season determines how you enter the next season. So that exit strategy is, when I get ready to do this, here's what I need to have in order. I need to have this relationships. I need to have this much saved. Here's what the plan is. Because if you just kind of get out here and you're kind of floundering, Pat Mesetti, a friend of mine in Australia, says, if it's foggy in here, it's cloudy out here.
Yeah, true. Love it. So cool. So another thing you speak a lot about is this idea of brilliance, right? Yes. And owning your brilliance, finding your brilliance, all that. And so I'd be curious for you, like at the core, what would you say brilliance is? Like, what's your definition of brilliance?
It's your core essence. It's the thing that makes you just flow. And when you're in your brilliance, you're in your swim lane. And when you do what you do better than anyone else, nobody can stop you. So you can walk into a room and you're not in the room. The room is in you, because you're like, I'm brilliant. And it's not arrogant or egotistical. I know who I am at the core. So it's my brilliance.
Yeah. Love it. And I think there's also I think people live in their brilliance. And even if you don't live in your brilliance, I think everybody can relate that. Everybody's had those moments where you, for a moment of a time, stepped into your brilliance, right? And things just flowed. You were in that natural passive sort of just like, you didn't even have to think about it. It was just like breathing.
Yes.
Right? And it's a beautiful thing. And I think it's such an interesting shift in perspective to say, I'm going to chase flow versus I'm going to chase being successful. I think too many times we go, oh, I'm going to do this because I'm going to be successful and I'm going to make all this money and I'm going to, you know, everybody's going to look at me and I did it. But the reality is, would you rather have those things externally, or would you rather feel like you're in this place of flow or brilliance
where life is just kind of magical almost.
Yeah, you want the brilliance because external conditions change. But if you have internal alignment, it allows you to show up externally feeling so confident in yourself. And you say, why not me? Why not us? And it's that why not me person that operates in brilliance, where they're not pushing themselves to be successful. They're pulling it towards them because of the vibration that's coming from the inside of them. And they're on a whole different frequency. And people show up in their life and they begin to resonate and vibrate together because I'm not threatened by your brilliance.
I love that. You're speaking. I used to learn a lot from Bob Proctor. And so, you know, he talked a lot about vibration, the law of attraction, all those things. And I'm curious, how would you say someone can raise their vibration so that, because it is about how do you not chase, but how do you attract, right? And if you can get into a place where you can attract things, again, it's another way to get back into that brilliance. So how would you say someone can start to raise their vibration if maybe, you know, they're like, I'm chasing everything and I'm not getting it. I just feel like I'm chasing it. So how can they flip that on its head, raise the vibration so things are coming to them rather than the other way around?
The first thing in the morning, set up a routine where you carve out 15 minutes in the morning and chunk it down into 5 minutes to meditate, 5 minutes to read or listen to something that inspires you, last 5 minutes to stretch and get aligned with the day. If you want to up your vibration, you have to work on you first in the morning. And it's that conditioning 15 minutes a day that will become 20, 30, 40, all because you are so focused on, watch this, rehearsing the future. So how I up my vibration, I begin to see where I'm going instead of where I've been. And as I'm rehearsing the future, I can see it, I can taste it, I can hear it, I can sense it, and I'm creating the internal conditioning. So as I show up, I will experience serendipity. I will bump into things because I was expecting it. It's this confident expectation that simply started in the morning when it was quiet, nobody was around, and you were absolutely feeling it on the inside.
Yeah. That's beautiful. It's someone once told me somewhere, it's like some people are like, oh, visualizing and that, like, I don't do that. And it's just like not part of my life. But the reality is everybody visualizes. Some people just do it intentionally, right? It's some people are visualizing, oh, in the next 5 years, I'm going to be struggling still. And it's like, it's not a conscious thing of, oh, this is what I'm visualizing, but it's an unconscious thing of, you know, I'm still going to be at this job that I don't like. And it's like, everything in the world was created twice, right? Once it was created in someone's mind, the second time it was created in the world. And so it's like, even as you go into a year in your future, 3 years in your future, 10 years in your future, that's not the first time that that was created. Maybe that was the first time that you're consciously aware that it was created, but that your life in a year from now was created in your mind once, and then you found yourself there. So it's, I love what you're saying, that it's so important to take time in the morning and say, how do I create what I want intentionally ahead of time? And then you raise the vibration, you attract things more. And then also, when an opportunity does come, you're ready for it.
Totally. And you know what? Here's the deal. You don't get become successful overnight. You become significant over time. And the shift from success to significant is each day I'm working on myself just to get a little bit better than the day before. And then one day you wake up and you have totally shifted from the continuum of success, which is outward, to inward significance, where you are serving rather than getting or taking.
Yeah. And I think a really interesting thing you said there too is inner significance. Not, I'm going to go do this because, man, look at me. I'm so powerful and I'm so successful and people can clearly see that I'm significant in the world. It's more so doing it and getting to know yourself and saying, like, I matter to myself. I'm significant to myself. I'm proud of myself because I've done these things and I've created a life that I actually like.
I can relate to this because I was chasing success for a long time and I lost it all. We had the house, we had the cars, we had all of the accoutrements of success outwardly, but inwardly, at the time, our family was coming apart at the seams because it was all a show. And then when we begin to focus on inner significance, after I went through a divorce, my divorce attorney said, you should go and see a therapist. And my therapist said to me, Anita, she said, whatever you don't deal with will eventually deal with you. And she said, you can show up on stage and you can espouse all this wisdom, but until you deal with your internal person, your unfinished business, you'll never be whole, W-H-O-L-E. There will always be a hole, H-O-L-E, in your soul. So I had to realize that I had to sew up the significant holes in my life so that I could show up.
Yeah, it's I think one of the things in life is it's about being in alignment with like who we believe we're supposed to be, right? And just like having an inner peace of, like you said, you could do all the things on the outside, but if on the inside there's turmoil, it affects everything in your life. And so, and then also going back to brilliance, once you're in peace on the inside, it's that much easier to live in your brilliance. Because even, you know, you may have things go on the inside and you step into your brilliance for a moment. And then all of a sudden on the inside, it goes, no, you don't deserve that. You shouldn't be doing that. And that's some of that. It's a sign of that. Okay, there's more internal work that I need to do. Because if you've done the internal work and you step into the brilliance, you'll remember with yourself, you'll go, this is where I'm supposed to be. I deserve this. I earn this. I claim and I own this part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So
totally. I love it. Yeah. And once you step into your brilliance, you become unstoppable and you realize I am okay being alone because I'm not lonely because I understand my brilliance.
Yeah. So I'm curious, at what point in your life did you all of a sudden go from, hey, not only am I doing speaking and share my message with that way, but to becoming an author, not just an author of one book, but many books? Like, when did this come to you that this was something else you wanted to pursue with your life?
Writing for me became very therapeutic because I could escape in writing and just put on paper what I was feeling and sensing. And granted, when I first started writing, it was a hot mess, right?
Yeah.
But what I realized, I had suppressed things for so long, and the outlet to share became a healing for me to recognize, guess what? I'm perfectly imperfect. I'm flawed beyond belief. But if I just put on paper what's in my soul, maybe it'll connect with an audience.
Mm. Love that. Beautiful, man. And again, it's that step of like owning and claiming who you are. And I think a sense too of giving ourselves permission to do things.
Yeah. Right?
And like you said, not having to be perfect.
Absolutely.
Just doing it. So cool. Love it. What is your favorite book that you've written? I'm curious.
Wow. Probably the book, the latest one, Ignite the Power of Women in Your Life, A Guide for Men. Because I realized that I just really jacked up some of the relationships with women in my life. And I really had to get that right. And so that's because it's probably one of the deepest books where I just put it all out there, you know, straight up.
It's raw, it's real, it's all of it.
Yep, no filters, just voila, here it is.
I love it. Well, man, Simon, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. I'm curious if other people want to see what you're up to, continue to follow you, everything you're doing. I know you have a lot going on. Where's the best place for people to follow you and basically just see what you're up to and stay hanging out?
Yeah, SimonTBailey.com is probably the best place, and certainly Simon T. Bailey on all of social media platforms.
Perfect. Awesome. And then my last question for you, and this is a question we ask all of our guests because we believe in helping people find direction, but do it through action, is what would you say is one thing someone listening to this can do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
Take out your phone, set it to 30 seconds, get a piece of paper, and when you hit go on your phone, write down everything that's right about you. Mm. And as you write down everything that's right about you, when the time is up after 30 seconds, step back and say, okay, here's what's right about me. Now, what is the direction that I'm going to take to move forward by looking through the windshield of where I'm going instead of the rearview mirror of where I've been?
Love it. Amazing. Amazing. Well, Simon, again, thank you so much for being here. It's been a joy to have you on the show. And thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Congratulations, my friend, on crushing it through another episode here on Finding Direction. I want you to make sure you give yourself a pat on the back, a round of applause, because you are one of the few who is not willing to settle for less than a life that lights up your soul. And that is absolutely something that you have to celebrate. I hope you got some value from this conversation with Simon and myself. And other than that, that's all we have for this week. If you want to continue to hang around the podcast, don't feel like you have to go anywhere. I have another episode coming up in just a moment, and it's just going to be me pouring into you. So if you want to have an episode where we get to hang out just one-on-one, stick around, and that one will queue up right after this.